We want to thank you for joining our Men's Summit podcast today. In this episode, I'm excited to share Pastor Marcus Burkine's session from our 2019 Men's Summit network. Pastor Marcus is not only a friend of mine, but he's also the apostolic pastor of our network here at Gateway Church. Guys, this message is going to impact your life. Let's listen in.
If you brought your sword, you can open that to Revelation 18. And you might also just put your finger at 1 Corinthians 6. Hold that as well. So I've got in my heart today to visit with you about sexual purity. Okay? You got to know if you come to a men's gathering, eventually this topic's going to come up, right? And just today over lunch, I heard about another situation. And I won't go too deeply into statistics today with you because most of you have read the statistics just like I have, right? So would you agree there's a problem? Okay. So in one of the ways that we serve churches is with a strategic plan. One of the strategic tools that we use is called patterns and trends. And patterns and trends is a way to look around at the culture in which you operate and look at where the culture's headed so that you know the environment in which you're trying to work. All right? So if we're going to talk about sexual purity, I want you to look at the patterns and trends of the culture in which you live. And it's not good. Did you know that now over one third of the entire internet is porn? Over a third of it. And listen, there is no such thing any longer as soft porn. Anybody know what soft porn is? Okay. That's not even a term anymore. Because it's just not a thing. The trend is not just porn, but extreme porn. And every addiction gets worse, not better. So what was fun yesterday is not quite as fun today. A little less fun tomorrow. So every addict wants to do a little bit more to make it fun again. And so it always gets worse. It gets worse and worse and worse. And that's where the culture's going. You want to look at the pattern and trend of the culture in which you operate? It's extreme now. And believe me, if the culture calls it extreme, most of us would blush if we knew what was out there. Okay? So it's not good. But what I'd like to do is begin today with a little bit of biblical context. Because I think once it's framed biblically, there'll be an aha that make a little more sense for the patterns and trends, okay? So this is Revelation 18. We're going to begin reading in verse 1. After this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven. He had great authority, and the earth was illuminated by his splendor. And with a mighty voice, he shouted, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great." Babylon's just a cult. That's our culture. That's where we live. It's just the world. It's things outside of God's rule. Okay? "She has become a home for demons and a haunt for every evil spirit, a haunt for every unclean and detestable bird." So look, I know Revelation's hard to understand. I don't understand it very well either. But this is not a big leap to get what is being said here. Okay? John saw a vision. This is what he saw. So the culture has fallen from God. There's been a release of demonic activity. Look at verse 3. For all the nations have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries. The kings of the earth committed adultery with her, and the merchants of the earth grew rich from her excessive luxuries. Now listen carefully to that, because twice in verse 3 is the word adultery. And what's happening with adultery is that the merchants of the earth are not just partaking of the adultery, they're growing rich because of the expense of it. Then I heard another voice from heaven, verse 4, say, "Come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins." Listen, there's freedom in Jesus. God calls you out of that, so that you will not receive any of her plagues. For her sins are piled up to heaven, and God remembered her crimes. Verse 7, skip down to verse 7. "Give her as much torture and grief as the glory and luxury she gave herself. In her heart she boasts, 'I sit as queen, I'm not a widow, and I will never mourn. Therefore one day her plagues will overtake her. Death, mourning, and famine, she will be consumed by fire, for mighty is the Lord God who judges her.'" Now I'm going to skip the rest of it, though it's a pretty good read. But I want you to listen to the sweeping context of Revelation. Here's what it says will happen. There'll be a sword. Okay, that's terrorism and war. Are we there? There will be plagues. In other words, viruses with no cure or treatment. Are we there? There will be financial shaking. There will be the judgment of God, power released for both good and evil. But listen, what precedes all of that is a massive global release of sexual sin. Okay? Now, here's the reason why. Here's the reason why a massive release of global sexual sin is released before all of that. Because the enemy's desire and goal is that the church is so compromised in its authority that we are powerless to minister when the plagues come. That's the reason for it. The sexual sin comes first because you know what it feels like to feel dirty. Okay, you've read 1 Peter 3:7, your prayers are hindered. God won't listen to your prayers if you're not right with your wife, right? So when you feel guilty and dirty, things aren't quite right with your wife, your prayers are compromised. Now the enemy's got the enemy's only opponent now on the earth is now compromised. Now he can release terrorism, plagues, financial shaking, misery, and he's got no opponent on the earth. Guys, that's why sexual sin is not a plaything. I mean, most people think this is very private. Nobody's business but mine. Not if you're a believer in Jesus. Not if you're a believer in Jesus. There are churches at stake. There are lives at stake. There are marriages at stake and little kids at stake. And the church of Jesus Christ cannot afford to be compromised in the hour when we're most needed. It's not a private sin. It's not a private sin. It's a sin that you and I have to conquer. Fall this way. I don't know why this thing's clicking, Matt. So no problem. I'll just keep going. It's no big deal. This is 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18 to 20. Here's what Paul says. flee from sexual immorality. Now, most of you have probably heard this before. Don't fight it. Flee from it. Run. And I'm going to give you a tool to do that in just a few minutes. But here's what Paul says. All other sins a man commits are outside his body. But he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. So I want you to see what he's saying. If you're a temple, the Holy Spirit is inside of you. Every other sin is outside of you. A sexual sin is inside of you. It's actually inside. And so it's the reason why there are such a thing as soul ties. Because God created you to be tied in your soul appropriately to your wife. But the enemy begins to pervert that, and now we're tied to other people in our soul. And what happens is that we become defenseless against the plagues and the opportunities for ministry. Let me read you some of these statistics. Just to give you some sense of the progression of this, I don't know if these are the last days or not. Read the culture, okay? That's what I try to do. But let me give you some sense of the progression. 30 years ago, the great debate was whether a husband and wife could have oral sex or not. Today, teenagers don't even consider that sex. Now, if you're as old as me, you remember the debates 30, 40 years ago. And men would whisper in hallways at church. You're not supposed to do that. Teenagers don't even think it is sex. 95% of teens and young adults are encouraging and accepting when discussing porn with their friends. There's no resistance anymore. There's no resistance. A vast majority of those between 13 and 24, the age 13 and 24, think that it's worse to not recycle than it is to watch porn. It's worse to not recycle than to watch porn. One free website boasts 4.4 billion page views per month of porn. 30.3 searches every second, 64,000 new visitors every minute. New visitors. Not a return visit. A new visit. It's a $97 billion a year business globally. In the U.S., $13 billion a year. That's more than the NFL, the NBA, and the MLB combined. Over 50% of pastors viewed porn last year. Over 50% of pastors viewed it last year. 51% say internet porn is a temptation. 37% of pastors are currently struggling. It's a huge trap. And here's the truth of it, okay? If you're just going to be honest about it, what wife can compete with an airbrushed picture? I mean, those women aren't even real. That's not even them. And the goal is to make you dissatisfied with your wife. And it's just merchandise for them. They're just trying to make money. They don't care about your marriage, things that are holy, what God gave you. They don't care about that. Here's what they know. If you're if you think the woman on your computer is better looking than the woman in your bed, what are you going to pay more attention to? And it works. So let me plow something. I won't stay here very long, okay? But I just want to just take you somewhere for a second. Why do you suppose God created sex? It's not, the ultimate purpose is not for procreation. The ultimate purpose is not our happiness. The reason God created sex was to reveal to us a part of himself that we could not come to know otherwise. Romans 1:20 says, creation bears witness to God. So you learn about invisible things from things you can see. And so we were given the power to know another human being sexually so that we might have some idea of what it's like to come to know Jesus spiritually. That's the reason. Now, there are a lot of benefits, but that's the heart of the reason why God did it. And so all of our misuses of sexuality distort a true relationship with God. And so God created sex as a pointer. It's a foretaste of purity and pleasure and what it's like to know God. So I'm going to give you a battle plan. If you're going to go to battle, you got to have a plan. Let me give you a plan right quick. And I'm not watching my time very closely. So here's number one. If you're single, you need to stop. No more sex for you until you get married. Okay? That's a showstopper. The scripture is not confused about this. And if you're looking at me like you're just old and that's what old guys say in church, listen, I did it. It's possible. And you can talk to secular psychologists who will tell you that people who are they won't use the word sin, but I will, sinning sexually, the quality of their marriage is less than people who are not sinning sexually. I mean, that's a secular stat. That's not just a church stat. Okay? If you're single, stop. And see what God will do with that. God will reward you in ways that you could never draw up on a piece of paper. He will. Now, if you're married, not sinning is not the goal here. All right? The higher goal is to enjoy sex the way God gave it, the way God intended for it to be. Thank you. To enjoy sex the way God intended for it to be. And if we're who knows what with some other woman, but watching porn on our computer, you're always going to be frustrated with your wife. You always will. Because she's competing. There are other people in your bed that she can't see, but you can. She can't compete with that. So the plan is to enjoy sex the way God intended for it to be enjoyed. When first church I pastored coming out of seminary, the church secretary was 19 years old. Her husband was all of 20. They'd been married for 5 months or something. And so when I moved to the church, I was getting to know them, and I noticed he didn't wear a wedding ring. But there was something on his finger, and I got to looking one day. I said, "Man, why don't you wear a ring?" And he had a tattoo on his ring finger. And I said, what does that say? And he said, it says Proverbs 5:19. And I said, what does that say? And he said, go read it. So now I'm like, I can't wait to go read this, right? So here's what it says. A loving doe, a graceful fawn, may her breasts satisfy you always. May you be captivated by her love forever. So listen, here's what that means. There's something about the way God created the female anatomy and the way God created male desire, that there's a really good match there. Amen? Amen. Amen to that, brother. I mean, you couldn't have done better. I mean, it's like, oh my goodness, you know, it's irresistible. And God made it that way. Here's what that means. You were made by God to be turned on by the view. That's how God made you. Mission accomplished, right? Amen. It's working, God. It's working. So, but in Proverbs 5, if you back up to verse 15, here's what it says. Drink water from your own cistern. Now, here's what happens. There are water fountains everywhere we go. And if we get a drink all day long, we're not thirsty when we get home at night. Okay? We're not talking about water, right? I just want to be clear. Okay? I'm borrowing the Bible's metaphors. We ain't talking about water. But if you don't drink water all day, you're going to need a good drink when you get home, right? Amen to that. So don't drink all day. Starve yourself. When you get home, get a good drink. Okay? Some women would say, I'm a pig for this. This is Proverbs 5 all day long. Okay? But there's a guy in Denver named Doug Weiss. Has anybody heard of Doug Weiss? What's the name of his ministry? Pure. Clean. Okay. So this guy's a PhD, okay, in psychology. Here's what Doug Weiss says. This is God created you this way. That what you're looking at when you have an orgasm, you are supernaturally attached to. Your soul says, I love that. I want more of that. So imagine if there's 1,000. Now your soul is fragmented. And your wife, just not really all that appealing. So here's what Doug says. He says, have sex with the lights on and your eyes open. That's his counsel, okay? I'm just letting you know. So here's number two. Here's number two in your battle plan. Make a covenant with your eyes. This is Job 31:1. I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. And here's really what that means. There is untold power in a pre-made decision. If you wait until you get there to decide, it's too late. And the reason why is because God made you to love the look of her. Okay? But how about if today we just decide today? Guess what? This is not revelation. Temptation is on its way to your door. You got a phone, you got a computer, you got an iPad, you got a car. There are billboards. There are billboards in Dallas as bad as Playboy was when I was a kid. It's on its way to you. So how about if we decide today, the next time I'm presented with temptation, not going there. I'm just going to go ahead and decide today while I'm strong. And here's the reason why. Number one, it's for the glory of God. Because God needs you to be able to pastor when all hell breaks loose on the earth. So I'm gonna guard my heart and be available for God when He needs me. All right? Also, my wife needs somebody she can trust. And God gave her me. And she can trust me. And I'm not going to compare her with anybody else. I'm going to be a devoted husband. I'm not going to look. No matter how beautiful, I'm not going to look. And I'm going to decide today while I'm strong. My kids need me to be that. My kids need me to be that. You know, my wife's parents divorced when she was three, and both of them had been unfaithful. And so when we got married, she expected me. I mean, her attitude was, when are you leaving and who are you going with? That she just thought, I'm leaving her for another woman. Well, I saved myself for her until I was 30 years old. So I'm not bragging about that. I'm just saying I'm not anybody's prize, but I am hers. I'll tell you that. Because I had practiced saying no. So I was God's gift to her. And she understands loyalty now. She doesn't expect me now to run off ever, and I won't. I just won't. Now I'm not that strong, okay? I got friends, accountability built in. I got all sorts of, because I know me. But I love my wife, and I love God. Okay? Here's the third thing. Don't turn freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. You got a lot of freedom. I mean, this is Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers, were called to be free. But don't use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Now, here's what that means. You've got freedom to watch Netflix. We're not bound to some religious legalism that says you can't watch movies and you can't whatever. We're not bound to that. You're free. Jesus says you're free. Okay? But a lot of Christian men use that freedom to indulge their eyes. A lot of opportunity there. And I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to take just a second, and I'm going to walk you through. If you'll turn to Proverbs 7, I want to walk you through. There's a progression here that you need to be aware of. Proverbs 7. So in the first five verses, he sets up the title is Warning Against the Adulteress. Here's what it says at verse 6. Watch the progression of this. At the window of my house, I looked out through the lattice So there's a preparing the environment in case I decide to do it. I got to make sure I'm not going to get caught. Verse 7, I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men, a youth who lacked judgment, immaturity. And listen, when in Proverbs you see the word simple, that Hebrew word means uncommitted. Uncommitted. He's immature and uncommitted. And so he starts, I hadn't sinned yet, but I'm just looking it over to see if I decide to do it, what's it going to be like? He walked by the house. He lacked commitment and judgment. He was going down the street, verse 8, near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house, just poking around, hadn't done anything yet at twilight. Okay, now there's some darkness. He starts making plans in his heart. The day was fading, dark and night setting in. So now there's intent. Okay, no longer living by light. Now I'm setting things to not get caught. Darkness. And then out came a woman to meet him dressed like a prostitute with crafty intent. So now the enemy sees him coming and starts sending in the temptation. You want to take a look? Gonna be plenty to look at. And she's beautiful. And her intent is crafty. She's loud and defiant. Her feet never stay home. Verse 12, now in the street, now in the squares, at every corner, she lurks. Until verse 13, bam. And she takes hold of him. And you see a woman on the internet do something you've never seen. And now your old heart starts pumping. And there's a heat and a passion from the inside. And if you hadn't said no yet, you're way past go. Right? You're way past go. So she starts talking about, verse 14, how sweet it's going to be. I've been looking for you, honey. This is how I'm going to make you feel. Covered my bed, verse 16, with colored linens, perfume. Whoo, we going to drink till morning, she says in verse 18. And let's enjoy ourselves. She's using you for money. She's not enjoying you. Verse 19, husband's gone. I've set things to where nobody's going to bother us until we're finished. And with a persuasive word, she led him astray. Verse 22, all at once he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter. I hope you see that. Till an arrow pierces his liver. You don't recover from a pierced liver. You bleed out slowly. Painful. Proverbs 6 talks about she will reduce you to a crust of bread. And we've all seen it, haven't we? I've got close friends, did stupid stuff. Life was up and to the right. Good family, financial things in order, retirement on the horizon. Today, Thursday afternoon, crust of bread. And every one of them will tell you, it wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth it. So what do you do? How do you get free? Well, there is a... Have you ever met somebody that said that they smoked every day of their life until they got saved and then they never wanted a cigarette again? You ever met anybody like that? That's one in a million. Most folks want a cigarette every day for the rest of their life. I know a pastor, been pastoring for almost 50 years, got saved out of drugs and marijuana, and he said every morning he fights the temptation to go buy a joint. He knows right where to go. He could pull up on a corner, hold out 10 bucks, drive back home. Every day he fights it. And listen, there's something I think in a lot of Christians that have been taught. Why didn't God give him strength like he did everybody else? And I would say he does every day. He does every day. So if you're, let me say this. If you're not involved in pornography right now, you make a decision today. It is Pandora's box. Do not open it because you can't handle what comes out. You can't. If you're involved right now, I'm no prophet, but I'm just going to tell you, you've tried everything you know to get free and nothing's worked yet. Everything. Been prayed for. I want God to heal me. There is healing. There is healing. And I'm gonna share it with us. Let's pass them out now. I've got one of these for every one of you. This is a little book by Jimmy Evans called A Mindset Free. Okay? So what this is a book about biblical meditation. And this is about, I think it's 76 pages. You could read this before the first session tonight. Seriously. About an hour. This is not hard stuff. This is an easy, easy read. And it's short. Okay? Unfortunately, no pictures. Wish we could have put some pictures in here for you. Shorten the book a little bit more. But he talks a little bit in here about personal experience and guys he's ministered to who anybody not get one, okay? Anybody not? We got one for everybody. If you have, tell you what, with the ones we have left over, I'm not taking them. So if you've got a close friend or somebody you're pastoring right now, somebody you know is struggling, take one. Hey, give these things away. Okay? Take them to him. And listen, here's what I want to ask. Hey, Matt, right up here, buddy. Here's what I want to ask. Don't just hand them a book. Okay? Disciple them. Walk them through it. Tell them you're going to do it with them. But here's what Jimmy Evans said. This worked for him and for guys that he pastored. Hey, how many hands do we have up? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay, hey, Stephen, can you run down to the bookstore and see how many they have? And you can charge it to me. See how many they have. Hey, if they don't have 10 or 12, see how many they can get before Summit's over tomorrow night. Because I know they're here somewhere. Okay? He started walking guys through meditating on scripture and mass. I talked to a good friend of mine this morning on the phone. He said, hey, what are you going to talk about? And I told him, and he said, work for me, man. He said, I was so addicted to porn, I couldn't see straight. It was an everyday thing for me. And he said, I started meditating on scripture, and he said, I don't even have the desire anymore. Here's what God will heal, the behavior and the desire. Is that a good thing? Okay, here's all it is. We're not talking about, look, you should be memorizing scripture, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about getting enough of it in you every morning that when your mind goes in places it shouldn't, and this is the violent part, is that you've got to take your mind to a better place. And you start chewing on Scripture, asking God, what did you mean when the Bible says this? What does that mean? And what you've actually done is take your mind. It's yours, by the way. It's your mind. And you can do whatever you want to with it. And put it on, seems I read this somewhere, things that are good and noble. Set your mind. So this is a good way to think about this. There is what's called first order thinking, and there's second order thinking. First order thinking is thinking. Second order thinking is thinking about thinking. Okay? And the Bible is full of this language. So the second order thinking is going, wait a minute. I don't want to think about that. I want to think about this instead. Set your mind on things that are pure. And if you're willing to fight the battle, God will give you grace to be healed. So let me pray over you. Father, thank you today for your word that never fails. Thank you that you're a God who makes promises. God, thank you that you offer salvation and healing and redemption, that you don't leave us where our own choices have taken us. But when we turn to you, you turn to us. And that you strengthen us in supernatural ways in order to bring us to the fullness that Jesus died to give us. So God, we lay hold of this today. And I pray for my brothers. God, for those who've never viewed porn, I pray that you keep them pure. God, for those who struggle today, I'm asking right now in Jesus' name for supernatural strength, that you will increase their faith, that it's possible, and that God, when they set their minds on things that are pure, that you will move into that place by your Holy Spirit, and that you will cause the joy of their marriages to increase exponentially, and that their wives will even say, I feel like I'm married to a new husband. This to your glory, God. Strengthen your church for these last days in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed the podcast, be sure to rate it. And if you haven't already, subscribe to stay up to date with the new episodes. If you would like more info on our men's conference, please visit menssummit.com. Until next time, have a blessed day.